Welcome to Eat, Capture, Share, the podcast for food bloggers and food photographers who want to earn an income doing what they love. My name is Kimberly. I'm your host. Episode 131. Welcome back, everybody, to the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. My name is Kimberly Espinel. I'm a food photographer, food photography teacher. I'm the author of the Amazon bestselling book, Creative Food Photography, and a creative business mentor for food photographers, food bloggers, and food content creators just like you. I am so pumped and a little bit nervous about today's podcast episode because not only am I going to delve a little bit deeper into my new book and share what it's all about, what to expect, but I'm also going to answer some questions that keep coming up when I do my Q&A on Instagram stories about food photography, food content creation, and social media. So kind of packing two episodes into one, so to say. I have been so keen to really take you along on the whole entire book writing journey, but because I'm under contract and I'm not self-publishing like I did with Creative Food Photography, I haven't been able to. I've had to keep things under wraps until now. And that's been, like, for me, I'm just not an oversharer, but I do love to bring you along with me. And you know, I feel like everything I create really is for my community, and not being able to include you in this writing, in this creative process, has been torture for me. And so that's been like a massive difference between this new book and Creative Food Photography. So I'm going to take you a little bit back in terms of, you know, how this new book came about. And I will also link to previous episodes about the new book, just for context for anybody who wants to re-listen who hasn't. But I was approached, gosh, it would have been around May 2023, by an editor at White Lion, which is an imprint of Quarto Books. And he had this idea and was looking for somebody to bring it to life, give it shape and inject expertise and heart and, you know, all that good stuff into his idea. So I have to, you know, preface, I love the idea of the book. I love the premise of the book, but I cannot take full or sole ownership of it because that is all down to my editor, Andrew. So he approached me with like a very vague, you know, kind of like cryptic email about this new book and would I want to chat to him about it. And first I was like, does he want me to photograph the book? Does he want me to be in the book? And then I was like, oh my God, maybe he wants me to write the book. That's what I want. I want to write this book. I love this book. Like from the moment Andrew mentioned it to me and he already had a title for the book, I was like, oh, this is my book. This is my book. And so we hopped on a call and I definitely liked Andrew. I loved his idea, the concept around it. And, you know, he really talked me through. And to be honest, he had me at a low. Like I was in because the idea of the book, I just felt like that it just resonated with me. But also in the way that I create things in my business and the things that I say yes to, they first have to resonate with me deeply. And that definitely was the case with this book. But then they also have to sit in with everything else that I offer, which this book did. But then most importantly, they have to serve my audience. They have to serve my community. And I think this is probably why I loved the idea of this book the most, is because I thought, like, my community is going to love this book. Like, this is the book that my community needs. And so, you know, after some back and forth and what have you, I really signed on the dotted line pretty soon after. And I also had to do that because the deadline was incredibly tight. So it was a very, very quick turnaround. And normally I would say, from what I gather, because of course this is the first time that I'm working with a publisher, but normally you have around a kind of 12-month runway-ish, especially if it includes food photography elements, which this book included. But the timeline I was on was less than 6 months. So it was very much, yeah, it was very, very quick turnaround. And The title of the book that Andrew presented to me was How to Make Your Food Famous. And essentially, what it's about is how to share the things you love around food, be it recipes, food photography, any kind of food content creation, you know, restaurant reviews, whatever that looks like for you, how to best share it online for maximum impact and maximum reach, right? Like, how can we share the work and our words, our visuals around the food that we adore in the most impactful way? So that's really the idea of the book. And what I did in the 6 months that I was writing and researching the book was look at, analyze, and interview the creators who are really making waves, who are growing an audience like no one's business, who are creating content that is profoundly impactful, fun, deeply moving, you name it. The food content creators, the photographers who are doing something differently and who are setting the tone in the food space and reaching a ridiculous amount of people in the process. And what I wanted to understand was what made these creators unique, what made them so magnetic that led hundreds of thousands, sometimes even millions of people to press follow and be interested and intrigued by their food content and their food photography. And then also what I wanted to extrapolate, and this is probably the most important part, is what are the common denominators? What are the things that these creators have in common that allows them to grow on social media? Like, how does that happen? What are the things that they're doing that maybe you aren't doing, that I am not doing, that is stopping us from reaching the amount of people in the way that we want to with our food content, the content that we love to share? Like, what is holding us back and what have they got figured out that we need to learn? So I interviewed just over 40 people. And what was incredibly important to me was that I don't interview 40 people who look the same, who do exactly the same thing, who are showing up in exactly the same way online. Because what I think is important and what I feel the book really shows is that there's not one way to finding success on social media with your food content. There isn't one formula that fits all, so to say. There's lots of different ways to achieve success. And there are definitely common denominators and certain traits and things that these creators had that set them apart. But what I'm hoping to achieve with this book is that there's elements that you can mix and match, advice that you can mix and match, so to say, to come up with a strategy that works for you. And what was really interesting is during the time that I wrote the book, I had four viral moments, you know, really using some of the tips, some of the insights that I gathered and gained by interviewing these, you know, exceptional and extraordinary content creators. So it was really interesting to see that what they were doing, if I adjusted it a little bit to, you know, my personality and my way of showing up online, that it worked. It works. It's adjustable. It's adaptable. You know, the premise of this book is that when you pick it up, when you purchase it, when you apply the lessons and the learnings from within it, and you don't have to do everything, just pick a handful of tips from the book, apply them, and I promise you, you will notice a difference in your reach, in your engagement, in your impact. So that is essentially, you know, the crux of my new book. Now, in addition to the 40 interviews that I did, obviously there's lots of photography from the different creators. And then in addition to that, interwoven are some thoughts, some insights, some tips, some strategies from me on topics such as mental health online, gear that you might want to invest in. I'm not going to give too much away, but I hope that the content from me is helpful somehow and can pull all the lessons and learnings from the 40 plus different creators together. And I had another read through just for typos and, you know, all that good stuff. And I was just like, dang, like, I'm really I'm really proud of this book because I know it's going to be a game changer for anyone who picks it up and implements all the tips that are outlined here. So that felt really, really good. Now, all that said, is the book what I would have created if I were in charge fully, solely, and completely? Absolutely not. I think the cover, I think after a lot of back and forth, we've landed on a cover that I can stand behind and I'm happy with. I think the color palette is beautiful and the color palette feels very much what you would expect from me. So it feels like me and it sits well with me. And I actually feel it feels like a really lovely sequel to Creative Food Photography. So I am happy with it overall. I just think, I also feel it's a little safe, I guess, and I would have chosen slightly different fonts and whatnot. But, you know, as covers go, I'm pleased with it. I'm proud of it. But, you know, they always say that the customer is always right. And therefore, I'm going to leave the judgment on how good or badly we did with the cover design in your hands. You're the ultimate judge. You get to say whether you like it or not. And I'd love to hear your opinion. So if you'd like to check out both the cover of the book and see some sneak peeks of the internals of the book, the internal design of the book as well, then please head to the show notes. There will be a link there that will take you to a blog post all about how to make your food famous and, you know, the specs, what it's going to look like, all that good stuff. So be sure to check that out because most importantly, the book is now ready for pre-order. So there will be links there to pre-order the book. And it would be like totally amazing if you pre-ordered, really, really make my day and help the book and me so, so much. But also I hope would help you. Now, all that said, there is a bonus, a pre-order bonus, which you can read about on the aforementioned blog post. So again, head to the show notes, follow the link to find out more. Now, despite my reservations around some of the design choices for the book, I think the message of the book is so strong and impactful. And I love also how compact the book is, how practical it is. And with that, how affordable the book is. It's so much more affordable than Creative Food Photography and therefore much more accessible. And I think for me, in this time that we're living now and the message that the book has, I think for me that trumped the importance of having beautiful thick pages with lots of negative space and lots of spacing between the words. And, you know, I think for me, this has it's just more accessible. It's much more practical. Whereas I feel Creative Food Photography was much more aspirational and inspirational. This has got a more grounded feeling. And for that, I think the design choices work and are okay. But yeah, you get to be the ultimate judge as to whether we got it right or not. And as I said before, I cannot wait to hear your thoughts. Please do DM me or drop me an email once you see the cover and the internals and let me know what you think. Now, before I move on to answering all your questions around sharing your food online on Instagram and whatnot, I just wanted to flag one more thing and then I will answer your questions, I promise. So the book comes out August 20th in the US. And as I mentioned, if you go to the blog post, there will be pre-order links there to all the places where you can find it. It comes out August 22nd here in the UK. And I know my publishers are working on getting the book translated into French and Spanish. So again, just keep an eye on that blog post, join the mailing list for any new updates as well, and pre-order the book for that pre-order bonus, which will be a PDF, like a workbook that accompanies the actual book, and then a behind the scenes video. So you definitely don't want to miss out on that. Right, now on to your Instagram questions. Being a full-time food photographer and creative business owner is stressful. There's no question about it. From liaising with clients to creating content for Instagram to answering emails, it's a lot. What's helped me stay grounded, focused, positive, and energetic has been my commitment to a solid morning routine. At the center of that routine is good hydration and a fair dose of antioxidants to see me through the day, both of which are provided by Magic Mind. Magic Mind is the world's first productivity drink made of ceremonial grade matcha, lion's mane, turmeric, and ashwagandha. In short, everything you need to show up your best at client shoots or long days of food content creation. Unlike coffee, it doesn't give you the jitters, yet still keeps me feeling focused and alert. Plus, Magic Mind tastes absolutely delicious and is insanely healthy too. If you're a listener in the US, you can find Magic Mind at Sprouts Market. Alternatively, you can order Magic Mind online and receive your delivery straight to your door. Simply use code ECS20 to receive 20% off your one-time purchase or your subscription, the latter of which offers you further savings. You can find the link to all things Magic Mind in the show notes. Again, remember to use code ECS20 to get 20% off. I've loved drinking Magic Mind, and I know you will too. Hey you, are you struggling to create engaging short-form video content but feel overwhelmed and don't know where to start or how to improve the reels you're already creating? After months of talking about it, I am so excited to announce that our Reels course for food photographers and food content creators is now open for registration. If you'd like to be able to create short-form video content, including engaging recipe reels or educational how-to video clips, then our Reels online course for food photographers and food content creators may be for you. After having numerous content pieces go viral, I decided to pack all that I know into a comprehensive online course where I outline exactly how to script great short form videos, how to produce that all-important hook, how to film like a pro even if you just use your phone for content creation, and how to edit your reels to perfection. Doors to our Food Reels course are now officially open. And to celebrate, as the Food Reels course is still in beta mode, we are offering podcast listeners 10% off. Please use code PODCAST10, so PODCAST10, at checkout to claim your discount. Offer ends March 31st, 2024. To find out more, head to the show notes and follow the link. Again, this offer ends March 31st, 2024, so be sure to be quick. Now, if you're listening to this after the fact, still be sure to follow the link to see if this course may be right for you. I wanted to use this podcast episode actually not just to talk about the book, but to talk about some questions that have been coming up in the Q&As that I do sometimes on Instagram stories around social media and around the reasons that maybe some of you aren't achieving the reach and the impact with your food content as you would like to. Having now done, 6 months plus of geekiness and research and just delving really, really deep into the science, as it were, of social media, I feel in an even better position to address some of those questions and delve a little bit deeper into them. So let's get stuck in. So one of the questions that often comes up is people are saying, and I'll read it out loud. This person said, the engagement just doesn't pick up no matter how consistent I am on Instagram. I've been consistent for months and months. And firstly, I just want to acknowledge how frustrating that can be when you're putting in the work, when you're showing up, when you're doing your best and you're not seeing any fruits of your labor, when the results just aren't there. And I always think it's really important to take a step back and to analyze the minutia of what you're doing. Because, as I was researching for the book and speaking to some of the content creators, what I really realized is that there is a strategy, there is a science behind success on social media. And often, say if you create, for argument's sake, a reel, a 15-second reel, like every second within that reel has to be eye-catching, has to be engaging for that attention, that reach, and that virality to take place, right? So if those first, say, 1 to 3 seconds of your reel aren't eye-catching, even if everything else that follows thereafter is gorgeous and amazing and beautifully shot, then, you won't see the results. You won't see the fruits of your labor, essentially. So, I really think it's important to comb through your content and to really dissect, are there areas that can be improved upon. And I would especially focus on the very beginning, the hook, so to say. I think that is an area where many let themselves down. And I think once you can grab someone's attention, you know, you're halfway there. And so that would be my very first recommendation, is be honest and look at your content. What I also think is, if you're creating consistently and it's not having an impact, and then you continue to do what you've been doing, that probably also isn't the correct approach, if I may say so. So if you're doing something and it's not working, it's really important to be adjustable and adaptable and to shift gear and to try something new. And so, you know, maybe changing the start, aka the hook of your reel, for example, could be the beginning of something new and the opportunity to improve things. The next question that was asked on my Instagram stories was, why is there an artificial limited reach? I have 1,000 followers, but less than 100 people actually see my Instagram stories. And I do want to say, I don't think necessarily it's an artificial limited reach or some sort of way of Instagram being mean towards you, especially or particularly. But I think it's just, having been on the app for quite a while and having been there from literally the first day that Instagram story was introduced, there's always only a subsection of your followers that actually get to see your stories. So I don't think there's anything dodgy about it or sketchy about it. It's just how it goes. And that's why also I think it's helpful to have a slightly different strategy for your Instagram grid versus your Instagram stories, because the people who watch your stories, I always call them, you know, your diehard fans. These are the people who love what you do the most, who are much more likely to purchase from you, who are much more likely to get your book, all those kind of things. So I personally like to use my Instagram stories to maybe show my face, for example, or to do talk to camera or added value, something that really is for my insider community only. And very similar to the answer that I provided to the previous question, for your views to go up, it's so important that that very first story frame is very engaging, very eye-catching. And the other thing I have noticed helps too is if you don't have too many stories. So I think if you have, like, say 10 to 12 story frames in a day, you'll notice engagement drop and reach drop. So I found a really nice sweet spot at around 3 to 5 story frames max. Unless, you know, what I'm talking about is really enticing or a little bit controversial or something like that, that kind of 3 to 5 story frames works best for maximum reach and engagement. But if you have around about 100 people, you have 1,000 followers and 100 people looking at your stories, you're not doing too badly at all. But I would say, if you want to improve that, see what you can change, see what's working, look at your analytics, which stories perform best, and see if you can replicate that and improve that. The next question was, how to grow your Instagram in 2024. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be salesy. But honestly, truly, and completely, please pre-order my book. That is the crux, the essence of what the entire book is about. So there's just so much to cover. I hope I covered as much as I could. And therefore, I wonder if the answers to that question lie within the pages of How to Make Your Food Famous. So yeah, I would definitely recommend pre-ordering it. For the next question, someone asked, I have very low reach, but it's okay. I don't let it affect me anymore. And I think it is definitely helpful and healthy to let go as much as you can from follower count and like and shares and all those metrics, that really what they show is how good your strategy is and not necessarily how good your content is, and most certainly not how good you are as a creative. It's a reflection of your ability to communicate effectively on a social media platform. That's really what engagement, like reach, those kind of things highlight, is your ability to understand the language. And that's really what it's about. And so I definitely think it's healthy to separate that from your worth as a creative and your worth as a human being. That said, I also think it's important that we are honest with ourselves, that we acknowledge that having some sort of recognition and having people love the food content we create, that is so, it's invigorating, it's intoxicating. It is food for the creative soul to have somebody appreciate the work that you do. And I would argue it's okay to want that. And so I would caution this person from trying to minimize their desire for creative recognition. And instead, I would invite you, like I invited the person asking that very first question, to take a little bit more of a critical view of your own work, not in the sense of, you know, putting yourself down or feeling or finding that what you're creating isn't good enough, but more in, can I present my work in a way that communicates more effectively with my audience, that utilizes the platforms I'm on in the best way possible? I still want to stay true to my art. I still want to stay true to who I am, but I'm willing to learn how to be more strategic. And so I wouldn't be, and I'm going to use this word, it's a little inflammatory, but I would invite you not to be complacent and to allow yourself to pursue more success for your art. And that means acknowledging that that's something that you would love, and then making smaller, perhaps also bigger adjustments to allow for that success to take place. So again, you know, my book will definitely help. There's lots of podcast episodes here too about how to increase your engagement, your following, and so on Instagram, that I would invite you to re-listen to if you've listened to it already. But I think just putting it down to the algorithm are against me rather than, wait a minute, is there something I can do differently to have much more of an impact, to find more success, to thrive in my creative business? I would invite you to veer towards the latter and take some of the control and the ownership back into your hands. Right. I think that's it. Maybe one more. The very last one. The very last one is, it takes too long for me to make reels. The apps make it difficult. It's a headache. So I will say, I have quite a few strategies, which I cover in my Reels course, for example, of how to expedite the whole reel creation process. That said, recipe reels, and especially ones that have that storytelling element to it, do take that little bit longer to create. And I think a good analogy is really in terms of photography. Can I shoot a recipe in 10 minutes? Yeah, I can. And turn it into blog post in a further half an hour? Sure. But if I want to create exceptionally outstanding photos that tell a beautiful story and write in a way that captures people's attention and, you know, pulls at their heartstrings, it probably is going to take more than 10 minutes. So the same applies to reels. You can do really snappy, quick, engaging, and fun recipe reels in a very short period of time. But if you're looking to film something with more of a story flow, it'll take you a little bit longer. And I feel it's okay to produce a little bit less than, say, if you were just sharing photos. So if you were used to sharing 4 photos on your Instagram feed a week, then maybe only sharing 2 reels a week can have the same kind of impact, if not more. So sometimes less is more, but also the more you do something, the better you get, the better of a workflow you obtain. Maybe just not put so much pressure on yourself to produce as much content as you did when you were solely focusing on food photography, and knowing that there's nothing wrong with you. It does take a little bit of time to produce something really outstanding. And so I hope all those things will help you. And it is tough. It is a lot of work. Just take it one step at a time. Take the breaks that you need, and you'll get there in the end, I am sure. Wonderful. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. It's been a very long episode rambling about Instagram and my new book. Please don't forget to check out the blog post. Please don't forget to pre-order. Again, the book is called How to Make Your Food Famous, a Masterclass in Sharing Your Food Online. Available August 20th in the US and August 22nd here in the UK. Thanks, everyone. I'll be back same time, same place with an interview-based episode in about 2 weeks' time. Stay well and connect with you then. Before I leave you, I wanted to say thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoy the podcast. I also wanted to let you know that this podcast was brought to you by my Eat, Capture, Share newsletter community, and I'd love for you to join. I will pop the details on how you can join my creative community in the show notes, so do go and check it out. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, it means so much if you can rate, review, and subscribe. All those things will help the podcast to grow and to reach the right audience. You'd kind of make my day. All right, see you soon. Take care. Bye.